Hey everyone, I'm Bill Anderson and welcome to The Pulse. Today on the show, we've got Wallace Peoples, aka Wallo267. He's got an amazing story. You're not going to want to miss it. So let's start The Pulse with Wallo267. Wallace Peoples.
Yes.
Wallo267.
Yes.
We appreciate you coming. You're actually the first person to be in this.
I appreciate being, I appreciate being at The Pulse, man. I'm loving it, man.
Appreciate you doing it. We've heard about your story. A lot of people have heard your story. But let's start there. What's your story that people may not know, kind of the background that got you to here?
Oh, well, you know, my story is, you know, young kid growing up in the inner cities of Philadelphia. Around 9, I got introduced to the street culture. About June 30th of 1990, I wound up getting arrested for armed robbery. The weekend after that, I got arrested again. I was only 11 years old for a couple of days at the time. September 1990, I wound up going to juvenile facility, St. Michael School for Boys, spent the year there, came home, got arrested again. And I wound up spending 5 years inside of the juvenile system. And then when I was 17, I got arrested for two armed robberies and firearm violations. Got sentenced to a total 19 out of 52 years. And that was the journey. You know, growing up.
You were 17.
Yeah, I was 17. I got sentenced, certified as an adult. In Pennsylvania, they can certify you as an adult if they feel as though you did enough crimes or whatever, you just like overboard or whatever. Right. And that's what happened at the time. So, you know, just not knowing who you are, having an identity crisis, wanting to be down. Because, you know, I came from the hood, and in the hood, you got to have things in order to be accepted a lot of times. And I wanted to be cool, you know. It calls to be cool, but I wanted to be it. So I did whatever I needed to do in order to be that, rather rob still in order to get things so people will accept me, you know.
Okay. And 17, they gave you 20.
Yeah.
What's that like? You're 17 years old, think you're on the path, and then life kind of hits you at that point.
No, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you something real. It's like, it's the scariest thing ever because you're 17, now you're going to be, you know, you think you're moving like an adult, so now you're going to adult prison, and now it's like, Bill, you're dealing with a different situation now. Now it's, oh, shit, I'm scared. I'm going to a prison with grown men. And, you know, you've seen all these visuals growing up of movies about prison. So you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get raped. I don't know if I'm going to get killed. I don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know. So it's all this stuff running through your mind. And I'm 17. And I'm talking about scared is an understatement. Okay. So it was like, I'm going in there, you know, especially when I first get off the bus, your shackles, you know, them shackles hitting as you the bus going into the mountains and you just hearing the shackles, that sound. And you just be like, oh man, this is serious.
You know, it's interesting. That's a scary story.
Man, it's scary.
And it's a story, and I, you know, knock on wood, I have not been mm-hmm. in jail. So I don't know, mm-hmm. but that's what I would imagine it would be. But most people aren't comfortable to share.
Man,
that.
Listen.
Most people don't want to admit they were
listen,
scared.
Listen, man, one of the part of me sharing my story, I try to, you know, share my story so these young kids in the inner cities of America can learn from my story and don't live my story. You know, so that's important is why I share it. And I think transparency is everything because, if you know, you can save somebody's life and you can help them, you know. And it's like, what do I got reason to lie? Man, I was scared, you know, I was scared to death. And it was like, because of everything that I was taught about it and everything that I seen was on TV and it was brutal. And you hear stories about it. So I'm like, damn, I'm thinking I'm going to get raped. I'm thinking, I'm a 17-year-old kid. I ain't no man. I'm thinking I'm big guys in there. You know, you're just thinking all types of stuff, you know.
Is that what changed you? You got in there. Was that the realization? I'm a 17-year-old kid. You kind of got in there and realized where you were. Did that change the mindset or was that over
No,
time?
It took time because when you get in there, you see your friends, you see that it wasn't like I thought it was. And I thought it would be, but when you get there and people mind their business and all that. But I'm telling you about my fear and how I was. And you inside of prison, you try to establish your own world. Your day-to-day thing, wherever you read, and you're going to play sports, or you're going to work out, whatever, you're going to class, you're going to programs, whatever your thing is. But it was like, with me, it was like, I just was, you know, you get in there, you have moments where as though you talk to different people that's in jail, you know, you think of different criminal activities that you may can pursue after prison because you're talking to more seasoned criminals. Yeah. There's a lot of things going through your mind coming through that, and then you go through different phases in jail. You'll see people go through different phases, man. Some people go in there, keep going to the hole, keep fighting, whatever. You know, sometimes jail is like the streets. So the choice is yours, whether you want to grow, I mean, or you want to stay the same. And sometimes we choose to stay the same. And for a while, I was just in there, you know, just doing time. And then as I start to read more, elevate my mind more, and I realized, I woke up one day and realized, yo, man, I'm in jail for being somebody that I'm not. And when I say being somebody that I'm not, I'm just a young kid that wanted to be down.
Right. You weren't a, in quotes, hardened criminal.
I wasn't hardened. I was out there doing my thing. Right. It wasn't like I was killing nobody. And I wasn't that tough. You know what I mean? And I ain't saying, you know, I just was out there committing crimes to try to get things in order for people to like me.
Tell me about the Book of Life, because that was part of that.
Oh man,
that
the Book of Life
that you had.
The Book of Life is like, it was just a composition book that I bought off commissary and I started writing it. And I would write everything down. Like if I seen something, I would write it down. If somebody told me something about the free world, I would write it down, because these are all these things I wanted to experience when I get out and know about. Like I used to watch Anthony Bourdain all the time. That was like with my guy, Parts Unknown, No Reservation, The Layover. That was like my favorite person in the world. Okay. Rest in peace to him. And he educated me, because what he did when I sat in the cell, I was able to travel the world. And I was able to see so much things. So I used to write things down, places, and, oh, I like to go to Utah. I like to go here. And, you know, some of the places I went already. But I also used to study marketing all the time, symbolism. I used to study the marketing colors. I used to love watching commercials, because I think it just was amazing to me to watch these commercials. And then I realized, I was like, yo, man, I ain't never went to McDonald's. The burger ain't never looked like that. You know, I'm like, I ain't never had that, you know, that cookie ain't never. It was always, I'm like, yo. And then I start realizing, no, an advertising company created that. Then me.
That so, started resonating.
So it started resonating. I'm like, marketing. Yeah. So I understood marketing more. Why they always use red? Why is the commercial so short? The attention span. I started understanding marketing more, and I understand that most things in this world is just market to us. And our movement is dictated, and marketing is the remote controls of our lives. So
you got that at 20 years old. You know, or whatever.
Like yeah, I was in the joint. Yeah,
17. This started resonating.
It started resonating, and I was like, "Yo, man, like, damn!" And I just love commercials. Like, I love watching commercials to the point, because you know, in PA, you got TVs in your rooms. I used to change the channel all the time. My cellar used to be like, "Yo, man, you don't watch that." And then I said, "No, I just love commercials." And then I watch, and see how it was different. The same commercial, but it'd be Latinos in the commercial, Asians in the commercial, and I see how they was marketing the different cultures and ethnicities. And, you know, and different, you know, backgrounds. And I was like, oh, okay.
You had a marketing degree in jail.
And then, yeah, so I'm just like, okay. And then I realized, damn, I used to be marketing when I was writing on walls in the streets. Because people used to be like, yo, you Wallow? I was like, yeah. You know, or when I tell a girl it's up my name, she's like, yeah, I seen your name on the wall. I used to write doing, you know, and I wasn't a good graffiti writer. I used to just tag my name enough. But
I don't want, I mean, we want to talk about your background, because that's getting you to where you were. But at some point, you grasp this marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that you have the capacity and the ability to do that marketing. Mm-hmm. And then you discover social media.
Like, yeah, when I was in prison, a homeboy of mine, shout out to you, he had, my homeboy, I don't want to say his name, but he had, he came into my cell one day. He had an iPod Touch and a wireless hotspot. It was a clear, I'll never forget, it was a clear wireless hotspot and an iPod Touch. He said, yeah, man. And now before it, I remember I wrote Google down in the Book of Life, because a young kid was telling me about Google in the yard one day, you know, because anytime somebody would come to prison, like a younger kid, I knew their parents or whatever, like grew up with them, they'd come looking for me. And I was walking in the yard with them, because every time somebody would come to prison, I would interrogate them about the free world, about what's out there, what this look like, what they wearing, where they go. Oh yeah, what building is here, what they eating, what's the name of that restaurant, what's that? Like, it was a bunch of stuff. I used to just ask a million questions. And he told me about Google, and I thought he was lying, because he said, yeah, I could type your name in on Google and I could find you. And I'm saying to myself, how you could type my name in on Google? I've been in jail this long. You lying, that's impossible. Yeah. So when I got in my cell, I got it, and I went to Google, and I typed my name on, and it popped up. I like dropped the phone. I was like scared, like, oh my God, the feds is on me. I didn't know what was going on, right?
It was all new to you.
Because it was new. Because a lot of times when you go to prison, you're stuck in a time that don't exist no more. And that time is your entry point. So you still be stuck off the things you know. So the best way for me to understand the world was to ask people about stuff all the time. Like I had this one friend of mine that was a friend of my brother named Rennie. And Rennie, you know, he used to tell me about how, he from Chester, he used to tell me about how he used to fly to these different places, the itinerary, yeah, I was doing. And I used to be like, damn, you fly? How much do a flight cost? Oh, you could buy a flight with your credit card?
People don't know how disconnected, well, some do, but people don't realize how completely disconnected you are Google was new to you, buying a flight, like all that stuff.
All that stuff people would teach me, and I would always ask, anybody that know, they'd say, Dan, he always asking questions, he always talking. I always trying to figure it out because I'm always trying to get information, because one thing that the greatest thing that I learned is that I'm just a baby in this world. And because most of my life on this planet, I've been incarcerated more than I've been free. So by that, 5 years within the juvenile system and 20 years in prison, I'm only 42. So with that, I'm looking at the world like I am I'm a student to everybody. I don't care if you're 13. You know what I mean? Young kids taught me how to get on this phone and take advantage of all the stuff that this phone got to offer. I never knew that. They'd be like, no, you got to do this. It was a guy named rapper from Philly named Garcia. When I first came on, he said he taught me how to airdrop. He said, no, that's how you get a better quality. I said, damn, I thought you just texted. He said, no, do this. So, you know, it's things
you
that
you're learning everything.
I'm learning every day.
So you did all your time.
Yeah. No, I'm still on parole.
But you served how long?
I served 20.
So you served 20.
Yeah.
Got out. You had already started building the Wallow social media in jail.
Yeah.
Contraband phone.
Got caught up with that. They came in my cell. I had some phones and all this stuff and the ceiling. They caught me with that, shipped me to another prison and all that stuff. And
just for doing social media.
Yeah. And the only thing I could think about, it wasn't just social media. I was watching porn and all that stuff. I'm just be real though. You know what I mean? I'm in jail all that time. I'm watching porn and I was watching porn. I didn't know. I'm like, wow, this is different. They didn't have it like that. You had tapes and stuff. So whatever the case may be. So I'm like, I'm on this thing and I'm like, this is amazing because I never knew that you could travel the world with the palm of your hand. The technology made the world so small. And I usually just be looking at stuff. But like, that's why I started Wallow 267. On social media.
So when you got released,
yeah,
I remember, I don't know if it was an article or something, but I saw that you were out, your story. That was when you were still taking the phone and sticking it up to fences or
property. Yeah, that's when Helen from the Daily News, she wrote a story on me. Helen, shout out to Helen. She always was believed in it. She's good. She's real. See, one thing about Helen got, Helen is a person within the system for the people.
Yeah.
And she's really, Helen came down to my neighborhood and just walked around with me and just gave me, you know, like believed in what I had going on.
Yeah, she cares about people.
She do.
So you got out, you were putting them up on the fence. You started these kind of daily
inspirational
messages.
Every day.
Why?
Because people needed them. You know, one thing about us humans, a lot of times, we never think about help until we need help. We never think about helping nobody else. We always tell them, I want help. So I said, you know what? I knew that it was like, I knew it was people going through it every day, because when I first got home from Philly, I used to walk the streets of Philadelphia every day. And you know what's crazy? I used to listen to, as an artist, I used to listen to named Sampa. I used to listen to his old album, and I used to listen to Bruce Springsteen, Streets of Philadelphia. You know what I mean? That song from the Philadelphia movie soundtrack. And I walked the whole streets, and I used to just see people, man, the trash man, the bus driver, Scepter, the mail lady. And I used to see hardworking people. And sometimes it looked like they needed a push. And a lot of times early in the morning, that was my, because people started noticing me. And they were like, hey, man, I like that in the morning, man.
Why? Why you? Like, why do you think? Because you were, you know, as you said, most of your life had been spent in jail.
Yeah.
Especially at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And doing things that were questionable for the neighborhood. You get out. You start giving motivational messages, you know, slowly but surely. Jump from about 30,000 to now you're up 1.5 million followers. Why do you think people cared? Why are they listening to you?
I was just being me, and it's hard not to listen to a person that's willing to even point out their own faults. I was just being transparent and I was being real, and it was like I had to get back to what I taken from. And I know when I was in jail, they used to call me the information king. I used to always give people information, read this book, do this, and that. So it was the same thing I was doing in prison, like, you know what I mean? But I just didn't have that. So like, I will always encourage people no matter what was going on. So it was like, for me, I'll never forget, my brother called me one time. He said, don't stop. My brother Troy, he was like, man, what you doing, man? People be needing that stuff, bro. Even me. That's. So I never was like, okay, I'm going to push him.
What are some of the, I've seen them, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people watching, listening, probably have seen them. Your messages were about be better. Your messages were about how you treat your spouse or whomever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
it was about you bigger than what you're going through. Rather, you're going through drugs. You're coming, you in the rehab. You're in a halfway house, come home from prison. It was that. Or I was giving messages to returning sentences. Like, listen, just stick in there. I know things might be rough. I come from a place of just understanding life and understanding a piece of life, and having friends and people from all walks of life. I got friends that's extremely, I got billionaire friends. I got friends that's in the street element. I got friends that own businesses. I got friends that's home. I got friends from all different walks of life. I got friends that's in prison. Yeah. And just having conversations with people and understanding that everybody be needing and getting insight from them about life, wherever they talking about their life or somebody else. You know, so it's like.
You're comfortable having those friends in all different places. Yeah, because. You don't seem like you've shied away from anybody.
Because what is a friend? A friend is not based off of finance. A friend is not based off of where they at mentally at the moment. A friend is not based off of race, gender. It ain't based off of none of that. A friend is a friend. It's called friend. So I think a lot of times we try to classify, I'm only going to deal with these people as my friends. I only want these people as my friends. No. I'm not going to say that, because you get success. The people that's not successful, they can't be your friends because their alarm clock ain't come on to get out of the darkness that you was in. Mm-hmm. Them having a contact with you and understanding that, Wild made it. You know what I mean? You don't know. It might be that next talk. It may be that next moment. Before that arrest or before somebody do something to them that could change their life because they was able to call you. So that's necessary.
On a side note, you know we're a new show and I took the label.
Oh, no, I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
The label's off. I'm down with that. You want your label on the set, they're going to have to talk to our marketing.
I like that.
It's interesting because you share your background. You talk about all the challenges that you face. But it seems like, and I don't get the impression that anything with you isn't real. But it seems like that concern for community, that concern for people, the importance of friend, that's what's driving you. It's not resources. It's not money. And in a minute, we'll talk about, you got that now. Mm-hmm. It's that passion that drives you.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think, when you think about I think about a lot of times kids, because the reason I think about the kids is because, like, I understand a lot of their fathers is in jail or dead. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing in our community is the kids and them having an opportunity, them seeing an example. Like when you look at me, it's like, I'll just be trying to show people from the inner cities of America that anything is possible. Whether you was in drug addiction, wherever you was in prison, whatever you may went through, you might have some issues in life, hardships, because life is not easy. And everybody, I don't care, every human being, life is going to kick your ass here and there. That's the reality of it. I don't care who you is. I don't care if you're from the suburbs. I don't care if you're white, green, red. It's going to come out. It's going to talk to you. It's going to have an issue with you. So I just think the kids is the most important thing. So we always got to. So a lot of times, like with me, I just be trying to, I really be focusing on them. But I know the adults, I got to keep their mind right too, because that's the parents, So I just be trying to spread their love around.
Were you this guy when you were committing crime?
You know what's crazy? When I was committing crime, I still was the respectful person in the neighborhood to the elders. I still was a little wily. I was just always funny. Everybody know I was funny, crazy. Yeah. I was always energetic.
Just got caught up.
Yeah, you get caught up. You want to be down, man. Listen, man, I'll be the first one to tell you, man. I don't think I could have handled not being down. Because it was like, you gotta understand, I come from a place where as though everybody respect the successful criminal. Listen, I'm gonna be straight up to you. Yeah. Everybody in the world respect the successful criminal. You know what I mean? And I'm saying it on the aspect of, like, if you think about it, if I ask you what's your favorite movie, you might say Godfather. You might say Scarface, yeah. Successful criminal.
Sopranos.
So when you think about everything that's award winning. So when you think about it, it's like this. When I was a kid and I used to sit on the curve, and I used to see the successful criminal pull up in his Benz with his jewelry on. And he had the most beautifulest girl in the neighborhood. I wasn't just watching him. I was watching how the people in the community watched him with awe and respect. And I said, I got to be that.
Now a lot of story, man. And it goes in a lot of different directions. You get out, you start building. You're 1.5 million. You got your brand that you're wearing. It seems like you know how to make money. At some point, I read this article about your podcast. Mm-hmm. And they put your business in the street.
Yeah.
They talk about you sign a multi-million-dollar deal for this podcast. What was interesting to me in seeing that, and the money, obviously, everybody reads the money. But in the fine print was you only sold 50% of it.
I never sold nothing. We ain't sell none of it.
So the articles indicated you gave up half of it.
No, we never gave up nothing.
Then that makes my question even deeper.
Yeah.
You could have. You could have gotten a stack of cash, walked away, but you would have lost control of what you were building. Mm-hmm. Why not take the money and people saying, where's Wallow? You could be on the beach someplace, just relaxing. After everything you had been through, you could now chill, you know, moving forward. But you didn't do that. You stayed connected.
First of all, when you partner with somebody, like we partner with Barstool Sports in order for them to connect us with advertisers, mm-hmm. and we break some money down. Now, the thing is this. I don't never think of stopping, you know? And when you make deals out here, or partnerships, brand deal, whatever, mm-hmm. that's the beginning. That's only the beginning. See, a person that think all the hard work up until then, that's just like a person when they get to the league. Now you in the league now. Now you got to go up. You got to really perform. Nobody care about high school. Nobody care about the points you score in high school, the points you score in college. That don't mean nothing. And the points you score in your first year don't mean that the second year do, then the third. So it's like, you got to make it to the All-Star game. Then you got to win a chip. Then you got MVP. So it's like, at the end of the day, why would I?
Just keep grinding.
Yeah, just keep grinding.
I saw you mentioned earlier when we were talking, you did 20 years, but you're still on probation. Mm-hmm. There's a petition to try to get you off probation. Yeah. Why are you fighting that fight?
It's just about, like, you know, you just want to be able to fly. You know, like, every time I go anywhere I want to in the world, but I always got to ask. And sometimes that ask could be shut down. Things can happen. So I want to be able to just go, you know. And there have been times where as though I wouldn't even ask because I'd be like, shh. It'd just be in my mind. Like, they're going to shoot it down, you know, wherever I want to go to London, wherever I want to go to Spain, wherever I want to go to Tokyo. You know what I mean?
So you still, you need permission to leave.
Yeah, I need permission. But most of the time, they're going to give it to me. I'm in a good standings with the Pennsylvania Parole Board. I never had no problem. They don't give me no problems. So it's like, you know, even done a program with them to help people that was on a run get reinstated, where we had hundreds of guys came in, you know, so, you know. But it's like, I never been off paper since I was 11. So it's just to be able to be physically free, like, it's something to me. It's like a dream of mine.
It's one of, if you go look at it at change.org, the petition to get you off probation, it's one of the most popular petitions out. It's over 200,000 signatures.
Yeah.
To go, you're not saying, I mean, you freely admit that you were in the streets.
I've done this. Admit I wasn't innocent.
Okay, so you weren't innocent.
No, I never was innocent. That's why I know, like.
Why should people be on board with this? Why
people should be on board because if you believe in change, you know what I mean, change is real. So, you know, they don't have to be on board if they decide to. Some people might say, you know, I ain't with that. I'm not upset with them.
A lot are on board,
but it's like, you know, I'm just thankful for them, but it's like, it's just something that I want for myself.
But why do you think, the reason I bring that up is because you said, I'm not innocent.
Yeah.
I did it. And it's still resonating with 200,000 people plus. Why do you think it was so important to them? It seems like that message must be something that people.
You got to understand this. A lot of people in the communities that we come from, families are affected by incarceration. Not too many times do they see their family member come home and do something on another level and be able to help people, inspire people, and do things for people. So, so that's probably a part of why they backing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. We put up asking questions from the audience. Okay. People who wanted to know what was going on. And it's interesting, the first couple were just like, how can I get in touch with you? How can I be down? How can you connect me? Mm-hmm. How much has life changed now that people know you're out there? They know about that level of success. They know all the things you're doing. Is it cool to have that level of respect? Does it ever become I can't go somewhere without somebody asking me for something?
No, it's cool. Like, people don't really bother me on like that level. I don't think, you know what I mean? I think people see me more as like, oh, that's Unk. That's the bro. That's wild. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's family. It's more of a family thing. So, you know, when you see people, it's not like people would think, like, for, like, some type of celebrity type person. It's just cool, man. It's just, hey, wow, what's up, man? Are you crazy? You don't get. So it's just all right. It's not like, you know, I still go to Target. You know what I mean? I still go
and
to
do videos.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's my. I don't know why. I like to post up and out. They got good lighting. You know, I just put my phone there and just go crazy.
You're gonna remain connected.
I'm never going to be disconnected, because in this world, this is what people don't understand. The roots hold up the tree. The soil, yeah, that dirt, mm-hmm. that, you know, that stuff that don't look so pretty, that's under the that's what holds the tree up. The tree is just a beautiful part of it, but you got to stay connected to the roots, and the people is what it's, it feels so good. The energy is different, the sound is different, the smell is different, and that's what's the motivation. You know, that's what could push you, that's what could keep you in line, and the post of that, that's everything. They control. See, the roots control the tree. The roots control everything. And that's what people don't understand. And that's where everything come from, man.
Social media grew. Clothing line continues to grow. You've had books.
Yeah, I put three of my own books out. The Mind of Wallow, 267, 1, 2, and 3. That's on my site, on my website.
That continues to grow. Uh-huh. You said that you can't stop once you're in the league. Mm-hmm. What's next? What do you envision? Because you're still a young guy.
I got some big announcements coming this year. This year is a lot of big stuff. Our partnership expired with Barstool this year.
Mm-hmm. You want to come do a show with me? we got extra.
Yeah,
mic,
we got some
man.
Stuff. Yeah,
sit right here. We can change the name. It can be the Pulse with Wallow 267.
No, but see, I think I'm be more in developing shows. Okay. We got a media company. We working on. To where it's though, not just podcasts. I'm talking about TV shows, all that stuff. So I'm focusing more on getting an executive chair, really helping people, amplifying people in the inner cities across America that really got it. It's a lot of people that got it that never get a shot because I think mainstream movies and the product they don't understand that, and they don't understand it's a new way of shooting. The new director is the videographer. They the new director. That dude that can shoot a music video, he can shoot a short little series. I mean, so it's like, it's different stuff going on, and I'm just taking notes right now. I'm getting my list together of people that I'm going to get, you know. So that's what I'm working on. We just curated the Roots Picnic podcast stages for 2 days. So it's a lot of stuff coming on, a lot of stuff going down, you know.
Your picture. We have, everybody has mugshot pictures. Did you ever, at this point, where you are right now, doing commercials and doing movies and talking about executive level stuff, and there's not a lot of rooms you can't get in.
No.
When you look back at that picture and then you see yourself now, what do you think about when you see that?
You know, that was part of my scared days. And, you know, it was so crazy. That's when I never forget when I took that picture. I first got the Dallas and I was shook, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was a lot of fear going on. I wasn't sure what tomorrow was going to bring. You just be trying to, that was a scary picture for me. You know, people see it and like, oh, he looked like, man, I was scared to death that day. I just got off the bus to Dallas. And it was like, I went from Camp Hill and I was like, this is a real penitentiary. So... But to be where I'm at now is a blessing. You know, jail, and I don't want nobody to take this wrong, but jail saved my life. Because that's the only place in the world where you got a large amount of time to think. You can't, you know, uninterrupted, so you, and to figure things out. Yeah. And what it did for me was it preserved my imagination. I went to prison 17, came out 37. Now, the imagination of a 17-year-old was still in that 37-year-old man, which is the people that was out here in real life. Their imagination get beat down when life happened. Broken heart, relationships, loss of jobs, loss of family. So much stuff they lose and the ups and downs of life the whole time. Mine's is like this. So when I come out, that 17-year-old that believe everything is possible, 37-year-old believe that now. And still to this day, I believe my imagination is intact. I protect that by all costs. Because with that, you can't tell me that I can't do nothing. With this, in this day and time, I don't care who you is. I can shoot a movie with this. I could do a photo shoot with this. I could record music with this. You know what I mean? Right here, this is a money printer right here. This is satellite. I could do anything with this. You can't stop me now. I don't middleman for what? I go right on here right now. Go on Fiverr or somewhere, hit somebody up, hit one of my young boys up or something that do graphics. I need a logo. Once they do the logo, go right on LegalZoom, LLC, tax ID number. I'll get one of my accountant friends. I'll call Shay. Hey, Shay M. Lawson, my trademark attorney, trademark this. I can set a whole company up today.
So that one thing that you wanted when you were locked up, you got the freedom.
That and the phone. That's all I remember. When I came home, I was like, I want a phone, man. You know, I'm like, yo, that's all I, when they charged me in jail and took the iPod and all that stuff, phones I had away, only thing I said, I want a phone when I got home. I just wanted two phones. I ain't care about nothing else because I said, I'm going to create with them.
Two things. We're going to wrap up the discussion. I wanted to share with people because I talked to you about this. We're still a new show.
Yeah.
And as we're talking to different people and trying to set up interviews and what have you, there's limits of things that people don't want to talk about. You said, when can we do it? There's no fear. Like, you've talked about that.
Yeah.
You want your life to continue to be an open book. No limits. No, don't talk about this. No, let's not go down that
path. I'm not, because at the end of the day, the story of me is I'm just a human being. Human beings make mistakes. Human beings do dumb stuff. Even when you know better, I'm still capable of doing. I'm not. I don't know everything. You know what I mean, you don't know everything, and people need to see that sometimes. You know, just to get a reminder that it's cool to mess up. All right, you mess up, so what? It's cool. But at the end of the day, you just gotta be able to get back up again. You know, and like that's what I think. Donnie McCurkin had that joint. Get back down. Up again.
Right, you see what I'm saying?
No, is that Donnie McCurkin? We
fall down, but we get up.
Yeah. But we get up. So,
so you're not going to sing.
No, I think. Saying it's just a sinner who fell down.
Ain't got up.
So that's what I'm saying. Get back up again. You get back up. You know what I mean? So it's like, at the end of the day, that's life, man. You know, and you got to deal with it head on.
We end every show with use your voice for good, the mm-hmm. positive pulse, do something. Is there something that you want people to do, to support a charity? Is it the petition?
Or how about this? No, don't worry about me. I'm cool. It's some places that's doing some decent stuff out here. I don't want to forget nobody. And if I do, please don't hurt me for that. Mm-hmm. One Day at a Time is an organization called
Reverend
One
Wells.
Day at a Time. You know, Reverend Wells was a legend. Son Mel Wells, a great person in the community. They doing great things. I seen them real line. I was in the front line. That's one of the places I like going to speak. I ain't speaking a while. Mel going to wind up calling me. Yeah. One Day at a Time. I love them. No More. They doing things for kids in the inner cities of Philadelphia. You got another one, Daryl Shula. And I forget the name. Put the gun. Something down. You got them, Daryl Shula and Daryl Bay.
Pick up the guns, put down something like that.
Yeah, pick up the guns, put the gloves.
Yeah.
You got a lot of different organizations, man. What is Dom? Dom is a brother name I know named Dom. He got this soccer. He was doing a soccer for kids in the city. In the inner city, he got a soccer program with the Philadelphia
Union.
Dom, he doing stuff with them. He been doing this thing. Don't be mad at me if I get you. It's so many people in Philly that's doing decent stuff that a lot of times they don't get.
Your use your voice for good is use it to help other people.
Yeah, like if you could donate to them, like that'd be cool. Donate to them or not even if you don't know them. You might know an organization in your community, and even if it's not an organization in your community, say you see the little boys in the playing basketball or football, go buy them some new equipment. Go buy them some new basketballs. If it's a baseball field, go buy some equipment, give it to the kids. That might change their life. Or sometimes talk to them, you know what I mean? Or even if you see them trying to play ball, go get them some shirts made with their names and numbers on them, some jerseys. It don't be the stuff that people think it is. It be the little stuff that can change, you know, to a person's whole life, you know, or really see that somebody cares. Just a lot of times in the ghetto, in the hood, kids don't even just see love. Sometimes just show a kid some love. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, that go a lot of way because a lot of us ain't being told we loved in the home. So it's a lot of stuff. But that's what it really is about, just loving up on them, giving them some love, showing them some love, showing them some support. And that's what's it. But it's a lot of organizations out there. Man, I know somebody going to kill me, but I don't.
It's all right. We'll put up Wallow's list, and they can follow you we'll do the shout out at 267.
Yeah,
we can
put
this all on the website.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes. But I know it's some people out. There's so many people that be doing stuff, man. Donate to whoever that's doing something in the community, man. Yeah. Shout out to all the restaurants doing all the clothing lines. Everybody, I would like to give everybody a shout out.
Everybody.
There's a lot of people that's doing their thing independently.
Well, you'll come back and we'll finish the list next time.
Yeah, I'll finish it. I'll come back. I'm dead serious.
Come back. Thank you so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson and really getting a chance to better learn about Wallow 267. Remember, this is somebody who has spent currently more than half of their life in prison. And now after being released, they're motivating others. They are showing, they're providing an example of success to others, and they are making good on their promise to make the world a better place. I enjoyed the conversation, and I hope you did as well. Remember to subscribe to The Pulse with Bill Anderson. We'll be back to do it again next week. And follow me on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. Thanks for listening to The Pulse.